Hello and welcome to Reliance's podcast. We hope that the message encourages your heart today. If you'd like to join us in person, we meet weekly on Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11 o'clock a.m. And if you want to find out more about Reliance, come check us out online.
So I want to invite our team to come up and get to share. We've just asked the team, hey, share a little bit about what impacted you. What are you taking home, but what has the Lord challenged you with? What blessed you? And so I hope that you get a glimpse of that. Unfortunately, we don't have a ton of time to share. We could do this all day. But, man, we're so thankful and honored that you guys helped send this team. And, man, we're forever blessed because of it.
Yeah, so I just want to share two things real quick. One is, people have been asking, so how was the trip? And I'm like, man, there's just so many surprises. You know, the Lord surprises you in so many ways. You thought you're going for this, and then the Lord would interrupt in a good way. His interruptions are always good. They're better than mine. He would give you these little nuggets of moments. You're like, I had no clue that was coming. And the Lord's like, that's a gift. You know, it's a gift. And every day can be that. Like, and so I think what I take away from that, and I could go into stories about those gifts, but I really want to encourage you today is to, like, when we open our eyes and we're yielded to the Holy Spirit, it doesn't have to be in Africa, but it can be at your own desk. Like, it can be with your family members. It can be with your kids. It can be with your spouse. It can be with your friends. It could be at Copper Oven. It could be wherever, you know, you find yourself. And the Lord can surprise you even in the most mundane of places. The Lord's like, yeah, that my kingdom's right there too. My kingdom's right there, son. My kingdom's right there, daughter. Open your eyes. There's a gift for today. There's a gift for this moment, and I want you to be a part of it. And so I think just there was a ton of those moments. And so I just want to encourage you as the body of Christ, like, man, let's open our eyes together and realize the kingdom of God is all around us. It's not like I have a ministry life, and then I have a Ryan Wallace life. I have a dad life, and then I have some sort of spiritual life. No, it's like the Lord's saying, Ryan, you're one. Like, the same guy that does ministry is the same guy that fathers. The same guy that goes to Walmart and has to get groceries is the same guy that loves me when you're up on stage singing a worship song. Like, be that same guy. I'm in all of it. I'm in all of it, Ryan. The kingdom is all around you. And so that's an encouragement, I think, for all of us. So as you go out to after church, put this into practice. Say, Lord, where's the kingdom? And I bet you'll be pretty surprised when the Lord says, it's right there. You're like, really? That seems really, like, mundane. He's like, yep, the kingdom's right there. Open your eyes. Ask him. Ask him after church. Like, where's the kingdom? When you go out to lunch or you're sitting with your family, where's the kingdom? And he's like, oh, it's right here. And he'll meet you. And then the second thing I would say is unity. You know, unity is such a powerful thing. And you saw, there's a few pictures in there. There's a couple tribes in particular that have been fighting for about 100 years. When I say fighting, they're not just like, you know, hey, you did this. They're like killing each other. Like, all out killing each other. And actually, both tribes have kind of made a commitment within their own selves to say, like, we're going to take out one of their members this week, and we're going to take out one of their members this week. Like, they've made it a goal to kill members of the opposing tribe one a week at least. And so even these believers that now have found Christ, they still struggle with the bitterness of losing loved ones to this other tribe. And so there's a lot of unforgiveness. And even the first day, they wouldn't look at each other. They had come, and they would acknowledge each other. They wouldn't look at each other. In fact, them being in the same room was just a miracle in itself. And so then the second day, though, the Spirit of God fell, and they began just to weep and embrace one another. And later, one of these tribes had a meeting just with themselves after this had happened that day. A little bit later in the afternoon, the Pequot tribe got together, and they basically said, the leader said, I am compelled not to leave this place. I'm compelled by the Holy Spirit not to leave this place until I actually forgive. And so, like, yes, that's the power and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and it's good. And so I bring that back to the table for two reasons. One, unity is worth fighting for. We don't stumble into unity. Unity requires humility. It requires sacrifice. It requires us saying, like, my opinion maybe doesn't need to be heard. A simple embrace might be what's needed in the moment. So unity is worth fighting for. And then I would also say, like, with unity is that if there's any disagreements that you might have with a brother or sister in Christ, even here or in your own family, it's worth fighting for. To even now take this message of reconciliation, which we saw there, and put it in our own context here in our own homes. And so if you have an issue with a brother or sister, it's worth going to battle for, to say, I forgive and I will choose to forgive, and let the power of the Holy Spirit compel you to forgive, not leave until you experience forgiveness, both giving and receiving. Amen. And so that to me struck a chord, is unity is worth fighting for, and we got to go low in that. Amen. Amen.
Buona Asafiwe means to praise the Lord, and that was the phrase of the whole time we were there. And it was such an honor to get to go. Thank you guys for sending us. Thank you for being a church that empowers people to go everywhere, whether it's Africa or across the street. We felt your guys' prayer. We felt your love and support. So I'm just trying to sift through the memories. We got to make so many beautiful memories. This team is some of my dearest friends in the world. And it was just so sweet the way Jesus continued to knit our hearts together in times of prayer. Personally, for me, probably my favorite parts were those few days before the conference began, because we just got to sit with Bishop James and Maria in their home, and they were bringing guests in to kind of meet. Okay, we were just meeting teammates that we were about to partner with throughout the conference, and we just got to meet these incredible families who were writing songs together. And they were worshiping Jesus on a regular basis just in their home. And it was like, it was for me, just as a husband and as a dad, I felt like I was tasting heaven, tasting revival, just in a living room, as these families were singing their own songs to the Lord. And we would have dinner with them, and then we would worship with them. And it was just the most incredible, incredible times. And God was binding our hearts together, our brothers and sisters in Africa, and it forever impacted me. So I'm so grateful. Then we got to go and we got to do the thing, and it was nuts and a lot of fun. But God is so good, and I'm so grateful that we got to go out.
Amen. My name is Carl Davis, and I'm born again. I'm the husband of one wife. That's just your normal African greeting. I'm just like, good to know. It's good to know. Absolutely an incredible time serving the Lord together. Ryan already mentioned it about unity, and that's one of the things I felt like I was supposed to highlight. And, you know, I just believe God says stuff to, you know, he says the same thing to two different guys because he's like, I really want you all to catch it. I'm reinforcing something. And there's a picture the very end of the conference, there's a picture of an altar where they had brought all these gifts together. I don't know if we have that available. Yeah. So they're bringing the fruit of their labors, tools, instruments, food. There's a sheep and a goat. It's just, you know, we didn't bring that back with us, but I thought about, you know, it could be a therapy goat. We could bring it back to America. But anyway, there's this picture of this team, and there are people from all kinds of different tribes in Kenya, from Ecuador, from Hawaii, from all over in the Midwest, that came together just to simply serve the Lord. And the presence of the Lord was so incredible, and it's all these, like, it was just this uniformity to go, look, we're just here to serve him. Nobody's here to exalt themselves. The presence and the joy of the Lord was incredible. And I just believe God is bringing us together here to continue that. He has a work to do for his glory that is not about any one church, any one logo. You know, we have so many t-shirts and cups and all the marketing and branding, and it's just, it all goes away. I mean, it's really just about him. And so the unity factor for me is a big deal, because as we're there, it just felt like it was a little too good to be true. To go, we get to just get up in the morning and go, Lord, what do you want? And let's just do it together. And just the enjoyment of serving Christ together was incredible. But the key element was nobody was in it for themselves. Nobody was there to advance anything about themselves in any way. We're just here to serve, like for real. And God's like, that's just supposed to be daily life. And this picture that's gone, it's the everything. Like, they brought everything. Like, here's everything that's of my, here's everything in my life. It's just here for you, Lord. What do you want to do with us? And one of the things that, yeah, the sheep and the goat thing I love, but Ryan and I were hanging around outside before. before this meeting, and I look over, I'm like, hey, check it out, man, it's a sheep and a goat. And I'm like, think we should separate them? I don't know. Just maybe it's not time. Okay. But they're bringing not just like a token. They're going, this represents every part of my life. And the Lord is really calling us to not give him some time or some resource. He's calling us to be all in. The cross is astonishingly vivid of an all-in picture. The Lord didn't spend some time. He gave everything. I mean, and he's just simply saying, he's really given us more than we could give back. We're not going to give him eternity back, but he's given us eternity. It's just incredible what God's done, and he just invites us together to go, we're all in. Whatever you want, God, we're all in. Who's all in? Are you all in? I mean, seriously, are you all in? Are you excited about it? Okay, I'm not trying to be, this isn't fake emotion cheerleading, it's just reality. Are you all in? Yeah. What else are you going to do that matters? There's just nothing out there. It's him and him alone. And so this all-in thing, because what happened on the trip was I felt like the Lord just continued to surprise us with these moments. And it was like the sense of like, well, there's been all this preparation culminating in the whole target was this worship conference. And I felt like God just went, no, actually, you're just getting started. This is a launching moment, not a culmination moment. And I just got to tell you, this sounds grandiose and extravagant, and I feel a little silly saying it, but I believe God said when we were there that he's calling for, he's launching a partnership between the United States and Kenya for the sake of his inheritance in the nations and for his firstborn son, Israel. And I was like, in my heart going, yeah, I know you're saying that, but if I say that out loud, it sounds kind of silly. But I believe it's true. We ended up, the other thing was we ended up at the Israeli embassy. And nobody, that was not on the radar going in. Nobody said, hey, we should, while we're there, try to visit an embassy. You know, I mean, no. But there we are. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? And one thing he hit me with, and I would leave this with you this morning, read Romans 11, like daily, for about a month. Romans 11. It's Israel is his firstborn son. And there's a verse, I think it's around 13 to 18, somewhere in there. It says, you know, the root, you don't nourish the root nourishes you. We don't replace Israel. We're grafted into his people, Israel. We're grafted in. We're not next to them. We're grafted into them. And the Lord just struck my heart so deeply with this phrase of pray for, contend for your older brother, Israel. And if I had a son, I have a son, so I guess so far this is a true story. And say he falls away. He just rejects God and walks off. And then what if I adopt somebody who loves Jesus? Would I sensibly say, well, cool, I got a replacement? It's insanity. That's Israel. God's like, somehow, God just set this thing up. When they, for the partial rejection, it opened a door for us to come in. That doesn't mean he's forgotten. And he's like, this isn't just, and this isn't political. If this feels political to you, read Romans 11. This is not political. This is scripture. And however much it feels political to us is how much we need him to reveal more to us. It just is evidence. This is not about what they're doing with their government. It's about his firstborn, Israel, our older brother. And he's like, I want you to love them and care for them and pray for them and intercede for them. So just heads up, he's launched something. We're probably going to Israel, like probably multiple times. Africa, and when I say Africa, I mean Africa. It's like all of it. I don't know why I said it that way. It doesn't make any difference. But anyway, I'm saying, no, it's all these nations. It's like a whole bunch of nations. And he's like, I want you guys, It's on your radar. It's on our assignment. He's like, you're, and I just this morning, he just hit me again. You're in this room by his divine intention, individually, personally. He brought you here. And that's not a gimmick. I believe that. He recruited you to what he's doing. And it's not based on how smart we are or how fast we are. This isn't based on us. It's on him. He just invited us. And we get to do it together. And I can't tell you the treasure that is to just serve him together in the nations for his reward. I know you're in. And I just, you know, it's so good. So that's all I got. Bless the Lord.
While we were in Africa, we saw many things. But what happened as a result of all of those things was, I believe, I and our team received an invitation from the Lord. And one that I've heard before, and I'm betting you've heard before, but when we got to meet these people, see them face to face, hear their stories, give them hugs, sing with them, dance with them, cry with them. Something about this invitation that I've heard many times, it taught me something and showed me something that I hadn't seen before. And I want to invite you to lean in with me and hear this invitation again, but in light of these beautiful brothers and sisters that we have in Africa. So I want to ask, can we put up this picture of the people holding hands? Yes, and I'm going to read this passage from Philippians chapter 2. I just want to ask you, would you just look at this picture? And, sorry. And just allow yourself to be invited by the Lord into something that's so much more beautiful and so much deeper than we can understand. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And while our team was in Africa, we got to see this lived out. We got to witness a people who understand, who believe, and then live out the truth that Jesus is their everything. And we saw something that we've not gotten to see here in America, but it's something that we are believing for here in America. And I believe the Lord's extending to all of us an invitation now to take what we saw, because you are with our team in the Spirit. You sent us, you are with us. These are our brothers and sisters in Christ in Kenya. There's an invitation for us now to say, Lord, you truly are my everything. And that Holy Spirit, I cannot do anything apart from you. And that from this joyful understanding, we then can be a people who lay ourselves down and who truly seek first the kingdom of heaven and God's righteousness. And we saw this while we were in Africa. And unfortunately, I don't think words can explain it any better. But what I can tell you is I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen something that I long for here. And it's something that we're praying for here. And we as a church body have an opportunity to step into this truth. So I encourage you, like Carl said, read Romans 11, maybe read Philippians 2. Just keep reading all the scripture, but let yourself be invited deeper and deeper into these truths that go beyond even what we understand in our Western culture, because we saw something that's changed us, and we can't wait to experience it more and live into it more and to love and to serve these people more. So we bless you, and we thank you all for sending us. It was an honor to go. We're believing for very much more in the future. Blessings.
Good morning. How are you guys doing? Well, me and my son Malachi got to go on this trip too. And as you guys are hearing this, I hope that your faith is stirred. Like, I believe that this whole weekend at Reliance was like a setup by the Lord for us in this room. Even just hearing Shane and Dory share about what God's calling them into in the nations, it's just, you guys realize this is really on God's heart. Like, the nations are on his heart. And we're sharing these stories. Hopefully your faith is being stirred a little bit. Maybe raise your hand. If you're like, man, the Lord is like stirring my faith this morning, can you just put your hand up? Because I believe that this is for this room. This is for this body. That, yes, we were all there in Africa, but what God did is an expression of this house. And we just honor Pastor Aaron. I mean, we joked about it, like, hey, open a new building and then send all of your team to Africa. I'm telling you, that is leadership that is beyond our understanding. It's wisdom, actually, to say we're actually going to sow into the nations right at the top of opening a new facility. And so what we saw God do, I feel like as we're hitting on these stories, I'm like, that was remarkable. That was insane. The things that God kept doing, it was like a daily thing. We'd wake up in the morning and we'd spend our mornings with Pastor James worshiping and praying together. And then he would have a message for us that was not planned. It was just like, we're all here and we're available. And I just feel like that's a question we all coming back from Africa have for us as a church here in this body is, are you available? Are you available? There's something I learned in Africa, even sometimes it was frustrating, was time is not an issue for them. And Nancy's shaking her head. I'm telling you, they are on a different time schedule. They literally are present. I learned something about the presence of God in Africa that I believed with my whole heart, but you had to go there to see. You have to show up. It's the theology of the presence of God. Like, we show up. It's what Jesus did. He incarnated himself. He showed up on the earth, and he willingly went to the cross. And I believe that the people that we got to encounter and be with showed us something about the presence of God, that we actually live here, but we didn't even realize, yes, this is Malachi. Oh, man, this is amazing. One of the stories I wanted to share as we got to go be a part of this meeting at the Embassy of Israel in Kenya. It don't even ask how we arranged this, but we got to pray over in Yeshua's name. These are not believers, you guys. These are Jews who were believing that God's provoking their hearts to Jesus as Messiah. And we got to pray over them and sing in the embassy the blessing them in Africa. It just blew me away that one of the leaders on our team said, God had to take me from Hawaii to Africa to give me a heart for Israel. And I'm telling you, that's what he did in our group too. So when Carl says, like, hey, we're on mission for Africa, God did something uniting Wichita, Kansas to Kenya to Israel. And I'm telling you, there's something that God's doing, and we're excited for the steps of follow through that now we get to do. So kind of like the hard work has begun now. It's like we got to have amazing encounters and see God do amazing things. But now it's like, how will you steward the revelation that I've given you? How will you walk this out? And it's crazy the invitation God has given this house, us, our team, to go back next year. And just one of the testimonies I want to share, Dr. Nelson, who is the president of the university that hosted us. This is one of the largest Christian universities in Kenya. Welcomed us in, not knowing who we are, but he pulled me aside the last day and he said, this is incredible what God is doing. We want you guys to come back next year. Will you come back? Will you bring your team back? And I'm telling you, the partnership with African International University is something that is like only God could orchestrate these things. It's not like we can show up and be like, hey, we want to host this here. And so I'm asking, as we pray and contemplate this word, are you available? Your time this afternoon, what God's doing in your life, just keep asking him that question. Are you available? And I'm going to share a 30-second story, just an encounter I had at one of the meetings, and I felt like the Lord, I didn't share this last service, so I feel like this is for someone in this room. I'm sitting in the back of the room worshiping as the African team's leading worship, and I see this boy, maybe 16, 17 years old, just on his knees, just weeping before the Lord. And I just hear this little nudge of the Holy Spirit. You guys, listen to these little nudges the Holy Spirit gives you. He says, go pray over that boy. So I kneel down next to him, and I put my arm around him, and I start crying, and I'm just praying, Lord, like, release the songs, release the sound of Africa through this boy. I don't even know who he is. And he looks up at me with tears in his eyes, and he hands me this piece of paper. On the piece of paper, it says, Lord, will you send someone from their team to come and pray with me? Lord, would you send me to be with this team so I can learn this worship? And I'm telling you, he looked at me and said, the Lord hears me. He said, the Lord knows me. I'm telling you, in that moment, it broke every lie and stronghold that his name is Jabez. It broke every lie and stronghold that he was believing. And he gave me the biggest hug as he's crying. And it was this moment where he just knew the voice of the Father was listening to him. And I'm telling you, if he can do that in Africa with people we barely can correlate our cultures, he can do it right here. We believe that he's going to do it right here in America. And so I'm going to let Malachi share. Just share one thing that the Lord taught you or a story you want to share?
Just while we were in Africa, there was multiple times when we were worshiping and we just started breaking out and dancing, and like just for hours, and it's like no one could stop us really, and it was like contagious, and I feel like the Lord really showed me how much joy we should have, and how much joy they have. I feel like that joy is contagious. Come on. I feel like we're bringing it back. And yeah.
Amen. Come on.
One of my favorite things about Africa is being able to go with fathers and sons. It was a beautiful time. And be with all of these pillars. You guys heard so many of our guys. They're like pastors. Jake even asked me to teach one day, and I was like, why? Why me when we have Carl and Ryan and Jake and Nat and all these guys? But it was a good time. It opened the door for so much ministry with women, so it's really powerful. But for lack of time, I'm just going to share this one story. On the second day of the conference, we were in a time of worship, and then our brother Stephen, who's from Ecuador, actually that was part of our team, Stephen and Chichi came. You might see them in some of our pictures or did, but totally Spanish-speaking brothers who also speak English, and they came and blessed our team in just so many ways. But Stephen gave a powerful message, and then we just did ministry time. And Matt asked me to share this because he's going to tie it up. But during that time, we were just in a room like this, and they were asking us to just go down, lay hands on people that were standing, and pray for them. And so we began to do that. And Jacob and me are kind of over here in this area, and I've been in a lot of church services. I grew up in the church in pretty charismatic settings, so I've seen a lot of things. But I've never been into a church service where, like, my people were praying for people and people were falling out and getting slain in the spirit. And so it was just happening left and right, and I just went up to this lady and touched her and started praying for her, and all the women behind her fell down, and they were weeping and wailing on the floor for the Lord to come. And Jacob said the same thing. He was like, I guess the guys were watching, and Jacob just touches this person, and they start to fall down, and Matt goes, I just love how you handled it, and you were like cutting her as she went down. But all that to say is just like the power of the Holy Spirit and what he was doing in that moment. I was just experiencing the moment. It wasn't like any amazing something or other that I was encountering other than just being obedient to the moment and ministering to the hearts of people. And the Lord came and he touched them. And they fell to their feet in his presence because his presence is that powerful. They couldn't even stand. So when I'm talking about the people that were falling, they were warriors. They were tribal warriors. They don't cry. They don't show emotion. They don't show affection. And these are the pictures that you're seeing of these people hugging and weeping. And one of the moments, just lastly, in worship, I've been to Africa many times, and every time I go, people always say, bring back the dancing. Bring back the dancing. And as you can tell, we kind of do worship in a rocking way here. And so the African dances don't really fit into our style of worship here. So the Africans, they'll start singing our songs and then they just stop dancing and they start staring because they don't really know how to do their dance in an African way. And vice versa, we were the same way, and we're white people trying to dance with them. Is very funny. But one of the things was, bring back the joy, bring back the joy. And I thought, what is it, Lord, that we're so desperate for that we don't have here, that people think that we can't have here unless we go get it? We have the same Spirit of God. We have the same presence, power, anointing, all the things, the gifts, all the stuff. It's all here too. And there's not really a difference. But I was talking to Ryan about it, and I said, what is the difference? And I heard one of the Africans, I reminded of one of the Africans, he was actually teaching us to dance in one of the churches, and he said, you might not dance and be all joyful in your songs, but you cry out. And so that stuck with me because I was thinking about all the songs that we sing and how we worship and what we do here at Reliance and in our city and in our nation. Why does the nation of America cry out? We cry out. In Africa, they dance and they sing for joy because it breaks a heavy yoke, right? And they're oppressed. And we are oppressed, but we cry out to Yahweh. So anyway, just the difference in that is, hey, we have the same Lord. We have the same Jesus. We have the same Holy Spirit. And he is powerful, and he wants to do a good work in us. So thank you for sending us.
Church, are you encouraged this morning? Are you? I hope so. I love the word encourage. I say it all the time. It literally means to give courage. To give courage to face what God has called and commissioned you to. We started off, Shane, first of all, man, you have no idea the call and mantle on their lives. I'm thankful for their obedience. They're being called into unreached people group to bring the gospel to Muslim people. That is extremely difficult. We have to partner. We have to pray because God has commissioned and anointed them for such a time as this. Amen. We go to Africa. Last year, Jacob and I, we went to Africa, and we went and visited all the villages that you see in that video. They came this time, and one of the things that we did is we were going to go visit one of the tribes, and we couldn't drive through the Bokot village because of how dangerous it was. And the week before that, two reporters were murdered. And I tell you this because when you see the reconciliation that happens right here, you have no idea how monumental this moment was. I don't know if we truly understood how monumental this moment was. In last service, I think they shared, the government has tried to bring reconciliation through these tribes, and it's brought more division, more hate, more murder, and more division than ever before. But under the name of Jesus, he will and can reconcile his bride. He will. Guys, I'm not kidding you when I say what we saw was divine. What we saw was the Holy Spirit moving in hearts. Pastor Ruben, Darce, will you go to the one where he's holding his hands? We keep going back to holding his hands up. Maybe not that one. Well, that's a good one too. But the other one, raising his hands up. That's Pastor Ruben. Yes, that one. So Pastor Ruben's the one holding that hands up. He actually shared a testimony, and even Ryan shared it with the Pokot people. He literally said, I did not want to forgive them. I didn't want to. There's murder that happened 10 days before that. There was a murder that happened of the Pokot who murdered one of the Samburu fathers, and they're in the room 10 days before this moment. And you see the women weeping because they began to ask for forgiveness because of they knew that their tribe had murdered this. Reuben, the pastor right there, you guys might remember him. I told you last time I bought him a motorbike because he wanted to bring the gospel to the ends of his tribe. That's Pastor Reuben. He's like, I didn't want to forgive them, but the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me not forgive. And all of a sudden, when we say that this broke out, it broke out into a 45-minute song that these people literally danced before the Lord with each other, locking in arms, dancing before the room. And let me tell you, a heaviness fell off of that place. An oppression fell off of that place. And we saw unity that was truly divine. Church, I'm telling you, this is the God that we serve. And here's the best part. We get off the plane, we come here on Sunday morning, and I watched a baptism last week of a young gal who said, I was a mess. My life was horrible. I'm not going to lie, I was high in the middle of church. But the pastor said something, and he said, God stepped down into my mess, and he delivered me from this. And we watched her baptized just last week, and he said, new life is springing up. Well, guess what? There's living water raging in inside of you and I. And all over this earth, and in Africa, and in Israel, and all over the globe, he wants to unleash his kingdom. Because he has anointed you and I with his spirit to partner in the commission that everyone could know the good news of the gospel. It moves me every time that the fact that was, is this is so much bigger than you and I. But God isn't being slow to his promise, but he's being patient for our sake that none, zero, would perish. This is the heart of God. It's not just for a few. It's not just for a couple. The truth is you were chosen. And he will get his reward. Every tribe, every tongue, every nation will confess, and they will bow before the King of Kings. This is the promise. And his plan was the commission of what Shane said at the very beginning, the commission of the kingdom of God enacted through you and I. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He gave us the mission of ambassadors of the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but what a high honor. Do you believe that? Luke 4, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set liberty to those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And here's the best part, is he's anointed you and I, and he says it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit would come, that we would partner in Acts chapter 1:8, that he'd pour out his spirit, and we'd be witnesses to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Guess what, church? He has anointed you, he has called you, he has set you here for such a time as this, and he has given you a ministry field. It's your family, it's your community, it's the workplace, and the same God in Africa is doing the same work here, and there's new life springing forward. My favorite thing about African people, and Carl alluded to it, is every born-again believer will announce their thing, I'm Matt Lowry, I'm born again. That is literally their identity. I have been raised to life. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. My life is for him, and everything I do will declare his glory. Now I ask, will you join in the commission? Will you join? We got to get out of the anxiety and fear and depression and the comfortable church that we're living in and live in bold, courageous, spirit-filled. Bree talked to, I asked Bree to share the story of the people getting slain in the spirit. You want to know why? Because it's uncomfortable to the American church, and most of us are going, oh, I don't know about this. This is a little unnerving. Well, let me tell you about it. The kingdom of God is divine, and it should be unnerving. I'm serious, church. When we begin to see people slain in the spirit, you want to know what I asked? I asked James, I said, do you see that often? He said, Matt, those people don't even know the word slain in the spirit. They don't even know what you're talking about. What happened is they couldn't stand before the King of Kings because the Spirit of God was moving in their lives so much that they fell to the ground because they couldn't stand before the Holy God. What's amazing is that moment actually happened before the reconciliation the next day. I believe that the Lord was working and preparing hearts. The Spirit of God went before because he's the one doing the work, church. And the truth is, as Aaron said it last week, you are a wellspring of living water. My question to you is, will you be the vessel? Will you be a vessel? Would you stand? I'm going to ask Carl Davis, would you come here? Guys, you have no idea what this man carries. He's prayed, he's petitioned, he's asked the Lord for it over and over again. I've asked him, would he pray and commission us to go out of this place, to walk into the calling that he's called you, because we all have a mission field that we're about to walk into. Amen?
Yeah, I'd like to read this. On the trip, we had two boys named Malachi. And believe God's saying this. Malachi 1:11 is something he's knit our hearts together around, and I believe the Lord's saying two young men on this trip named Malachi, just there's a double portion. I'm doing this. This thing that you rally around, I'm doing it, and I'm just emphasizing it. So I want to read this, Malachi 1:11. Sure wish I would have brought my glasses. Anyway, Malachi 1:11 says this, "For from the rising of the sun, even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations and in every place. In every place, incense is going to be offered to my name and a grain offering that's pure. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." So if you would, I know this is a weird thing. We do it a lot. We do it enough. It's getting less weird. But let's just join hands. I want to join hands. And I'm going to give you a minute because this is for real. I believe we are here to agree together for what the Lord's up to. We lay down our own agendas and say, Lord, we're just here for you. And this picture is everywhere. It's not just in Africa. It's, okay, what we're saying is, yeah, Lord, we're saying yes to this at home. We're saying yes in our cul-de-sac, our neighborhood, our city. We're saying yes for our state. We're saying yes for our nation. And we're offering ourselves and saying yes to your glory, your inheritance in the nations. And this is why we're here. He's like, I've knit your hearts together. And this isn't going to happen because of us. We're not smart enough. We're not fast enough. We don't have it together enough. We're not going to perform well enough. But he can. It's him. He's our foundation. So, yeah, Lord, we come together in your name. And we just say yes. And Lord, every place in us that's challenged by this, that's uncomfortable, Lord, every question that comes, every yeah, but how thought and feeling that comes, we give them to you. Lord, there's no lack of resource. There's no lack of open doors. You're the God of all creation who said you're going to do this. And so we're believing in you, not ourselves, not each other, but we're together saying yes and believing in you, Christ. Have your inheritance. Here's everything. We love you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. And we say yes. We say yes, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, church. Be blessed. Thank you for just sending. Thank you for resourcing. Thank you for partnering. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.
Thank you so much for tuning in for today's word. We hope that it continues to encourage you and bless you as you go about your day-to-day. Until then, we will see you next Sunday. Have a great week.